thanks for tuning in to the Undercut's review of the 2024 Belgian Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and enjoy the show.
By being a racing driver, you are under risk all the time. By being a racing driver means you are racing with other people. And if you no longer go for a gap that exists, you're no longer a racing driver.
All right, so we had the last race of the first half, so to speak, of the season before the summer break. We did get some news coming into this weekend. Obviously, we had spoken about it a bit last week, but Ocon officially has been announced as the driver alongside Ollie Bearman at Haas for next year. What we were expecting has happened.
It wasn't the best kept secret, I don't think.
No,
but it's a seat. And if Haas can keep doing what they're doing, then, and if Alpine keep doing what they're doing, then not a bad move. I think Ayao Komatsu is really bringing some stability at Haas and different ideas. Not that we don't love Gunter, but I like what Ayao's doing there. And obviously, Alpine, the news this week as well that Famount wasn't exactly fired. He was ushered away from the F1 team.
Yeah.
He was their engine guy originally, I think. And then
I think that's right.
Having delivered a subpar engine at the start of the turbo hybrid era, they thought he'd be the perfect guy to spearhead the F1 team. But, he's clearly trusted within the Renault organization. So he'll go on to other things.
Yeah.
I guess it's just like you said, someone comes in, Mr. Briatore, Big Flav comes in and starts shaking things up a bit. Ocon,
no surprise there. And then Mattia Binotto will be joining the Audi or Sauber or both on August 1st. So only in a few days, but back in the sport, I guess.
And Andreas Seidel and I forgot the other guy's name, the technical guy. They're both out. It seems odd. I don't quite get what's going on over with Audi. They're not putting any money into the car. And it's just a little bit, it's just odd that now they're changing things again. So it'd be interesting. I think Hulkenberg will be a little bit confused, but he's got a long-term deal, so does he really care? But I think that with this change, I don't think that they'll get their man with Sainz. I think everyone else will have to say no at this point for Sainz to be going to Audi.
I guess the other news was Max got a 10 grid spot penalty and Yuki, his was for...
Yuki had a 60 grid spot.
Six different parts put on the car. So 60 spot grid penalty. I'd never seen that before. And then Alpine had a sort of Deadpool and Wolverine livery, although all I could tell that looked like either of the characters was just the names of the characters on the car and the car being red.
Red and black. I actually quite liked the look of the car.
Yeah, it didn't look bad.
Yeah. It was just a little bit difficult to tell apart from the Haas from certain angles. So when they were going at it, you couldn't really tell. There were a couple of times when Alpine were making moves on Haas, and I was watching it on my phone in the airport, and so I couldn't really see very well.
But yeah, that was it for the news coming into the weekend. There was lots of rain, I guess, during the practice session. So there was only really one dry track session, which made it difficult for picking Coop's picks for this race. And it started out wet for qualifying, but it didn't really rain during the session, and it kind of dried
it just
out
kind of stayed
as
damp
they went on
and dried. So it was what it did make was for really good sort of end of each session, because it meant the track was getting faster throughout each session. So everyone was always out there, and it was a bit of a race to see who could be last, because last would be first, right?
Yeah, exactly. Really, the only big surprises, I would say, is that at least in the first session, Yuki and both the Haases, who have looked, pretty good recently were not able to make it out of Q1. So disappointing on them. But like you said, on a drying track, it's really more down to when you're able to get the time in than the actual lap that you're putting in. But disappointing from them. And then really no surprises from the second session. A lot of the usual guys getting through, although Albon making it into the second session in Ocon. So that's, you know, good on them. But Max put in the fastest time of the session, but like we said, he had a 10 spot grid penalty. So
yeah, and it was really close at the end of Q2. I think it was 3 or 4 hundredths of a second that that Perez made it through to Q3,
right,
at the expense of Albon. And then obviously with things shaking out in the third session, that was, you know, that would have been a huge difference for Sergio Perez. Just that, you know, 3/400ths of a tenth of a second would have had him starting in 11th or 10th, right, just one spot in front of Max with a 10 spot penalty.
Yeah. But he did make it through. And because of Max dropping so far back, Checo was starting on the front row next to Charles, who has gotten another pole position. He's gotten a lot of those, but he hasn't converted many of them. But also Lewis and Lando rounding out the second row. It was kind of mixed up and all over the place for the top 10.
Yeah, good to see things mixed up a little bit because, you know, now it's Red Bull, McLaren, Mercedes, Ferrari, all vying for that top spot. Depending on the track, one slightly faster. It's like, is the Ferrari slower or faster? And everyone thought that the Ferrari wasn't really going to be the car this weekend.
Yeah.
But Charles there puts it on the front row, gets pole by virtue of the penalty. And Carlos, yeah, he's still, what, third row, but still a solid sort of showing there.
Yeah. And no one was expecting much from the Mercedes either. And Lewis getting P3. And I mean, George is probably going to be disappointed with what, P6, where he started, but
yeah, they had still a bit of a rough Friday. Their car wasn't there and they didn't really have any running to be able to figure out what to do with it in the dry. So it was a bit of a jump into the unknown in terms of the setup, any change that they need to make.
Yeah. And that is it for qualifying. So on to the pre-race. Oscar got interviewed before the race and that dude just has no emotion at all. He just doesn't react to anything. It's so crazy. They call Carlos the smooth operator, but it seems Oscar is now. But that was really it for the pre-race stuff. So
yeah, you said about an interview with Juan Manuel Correa.
Oh yeah.
I didn't see it. But see, he was the guy who was involved with the crash that cost the life of Antoine Hubert.
Yes,
in 2021. Right. 2020, 2021.
Yeah.
I'll have to go back and watch that one. What did they say? What did they talk about?
Yeah, just asked him how it is for him, I guess, like coming back to race at Spa where the crash happened. Or wait, did it happen at Imola, I guess?
No, it was here. It was at Spa. It was at the top.
It was at Spa.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, just talking about how it was like coming back to race here, but actually he said during the interview that he has raced here since then. So it was like, you know, I'm used to it now. It was hard at first, but you know, he's been here a couple times already, so it's not so bad. But just trying to battle back through all the injuries and whatnot. I mean, it's crazy that he's all the way back up to F2 after the injuries that he sustained from that crash. So more power to him. And another American driver who, you know, I guess has a shot of getting through, probably not, but still a great story.
Yep.
So yeah, that was it for the pre-race stuff. Let's get to the race start. Charles had a fairly decent jump off the line. He was able to maintain the lead into turn one, but Lewis had an unbelievable start and was able to jump Checo into turn one. Checo moving back already, and then Lando had a really bad coming out of the first turn and went a little bit wide and onto the gravel and drop two spots. And
yeah, I mean, you drop a wheel in the gravel coming out of turn one at Spa.
Yeah.
And that's a really long drag because it's, you know, Eau Rouge is flat out. And so you've got all the way up the hill, all the way to Les Combes, which is, if you lose momentum at the start of that whole run, you're massively disadvantaged the whole way down. Yeah. So he was actually lucky. I think he probably cut across a little bit on, I think, Fernando.
I think that's right.
And Albon, I think Fernando had to back out and he managed to keep a spot. It was a little cheeky, but I guess it's first lap, so whatever. But yeah, I mean, Lewis and Checo side by side on the run down the hill, red down towards Eau Rouge. It was like you knew that Lewis was going to take it because he had his nose slightly ahead and he had the line. It was slightly wider, so Checo was always going to give it up. But
yeah,
maybe Checo was too busy thinking about how close he had, how, you know, what the gap was that he needed to Charles to be able to drag him up to turn five, I think it is, Les Combes, which the commentators had been talking about like all in the build up to the start.
Yeah.
And but it was Charles leading the end of the first lap.
Yeah, great for him. Maybe Lando cutting back in, slowing up, Albon and Ocon behind him helped Max out a little bit because he was able to make up two spots on the first lap, getting past Ocon and Albon and back up into the points after starting in P11. Pretty much everyone started on mediums except for Carlos and Joe, who started on hard tires, and Danny, who started on softs.
Gambling on a safety car, I think, there.
Yeah.
Within the first couple of laps, and then just kind of throw hards on and do two stints on hards. But everyone made it through. No safety car.
Nope. Everybody being nice so far. Then lap three, DRS is on, and Lewis fairly easily was able to get by Charlos down the long straight after Eau Rouge, and Lewis is leading a race for the second time in three races. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Especially from where they were earlier on the weekend, like you said, had an awful Friday and now leading after the Friday, race.
Yeah, after Friday, was not expecting Lewis to be in the lead midway through the third lap of the race.
Yeah.
I mean, even starting third, I was like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We figured maybe they'd be dropping back a bit, and they weren't feeling too positive going into the race either. But Joe ended up going very slowly on that lap, had some sort of issue, and I don't know if he went around for another lap or just took him forever to get back to the garage and end up showing us that he was retiring. But
I think he stayed out one lap. I think he went really slow, kind of got it figured out. He went round again, and then they said just told him to come in.
Yeah. I mean, he was in the back of the race anyway, so brutal run of form for that whole team recently, but starting out the race really bad. And then we hear that Checo might have some sort of battery issue, and we're seeing a DRS train kind of build up behind him with Lewis and Charles pulling away from them. So maybe that explains why he was going slow, but he hasn't been very fast recently anyway.
No, I didn't kind of pick up on the battery issue and whether that kind of stuck with him. But that DRS for this year, the DRS zone had been shortened by 75 meters. So it was actually shorter, which made overtaking quite a bit more difficult. So I hadn't actually heard about that until after the race, how it was shorter. And maybe I'd have changed my Coupes F1 picks, but I don't know how I worked out. We'll figure that at the end. But, you know, you think back a couple of years, didn't Max start like 13th and win at Spa or something just because no one ever battled him? They were battling other people. They just let him through all the way. And it was really annoying. Maybe they just then shortened the DRS to try and make it a little bit more challenging, but it meant that it was, you know, easier for DRS trains to start to emerge.
Yeah. You know, and they're still trying to figure out how long to make the DRS train work, and the cars are different every year. So difficult task, but everyone even coming into the race was expecting Mac to make a charge up the field because of how fast he was during qualifying. I mean, he was
consistently 0.6 of a second faster than everyone consistently all weekend. I was expecting him to come through. I was kind of didn't know whether he'd get all the way to the front or whatever, yeah. But it was, I knew that he wouldn't stay in 11th for very long.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I picked him for second place in the race. So expecting him to move up quite a bit. But only a couple laps later, Lewis is already out of DRS range of Charles and pulling away from him fairly quickly. And Checo is falling even further away from Charles. Pretty much a 2 second gap between him and Oscar is right up behind him trying to pass him. But it is starting to spread out a bit. And we hear that maybe they're going to have to lift and coast a bit because I guess they put only enough fuel expecting there to be some sort of safety car or virtual safety car and having to save fuel early on.
Yeah. On the radio, they were telling, well, I think it was maybe George that they were, I think it was George's radio. But it's crazy that they're kind of talking about this early in the race. I mean, lap 7 is only a 44 lap race. So it's still quite far in. But it just it reminds you how finely they cut it with the weight. Right. You don't want to carry anything around there. And so, yeah, it just means that there comes a point in the race where it just becomes a little bit boring.
Right.
And that's kind of where we were at this point, because this is in the run-up to, you know, pit stops starting to happen.
Right. Yep. And on the next lap after we heard that is when Max and George are the first of the real leaders, like the top 8 or so, to come in to pit, trying to undercut all those guys ahead of them in the top 6. Lewis and Checo and Oscar all respond to that, and they're able to stay ahead. Oscar was able to stay ahead of George coming out of the pits and not lose out on the undercut. But I guess Charles stayed out for at least one more lap.
I think that was a lap, maybe 2. Yeah. Lando stayed out a little longer.
Yep, that's right. Trying to make the overcut work, which he's done on occasion in the past few races to use to his advantage. But Carlos, who started on the hard tires now on lap 14, I guess everyone ahead of him has, or no, Lando not yet, but he started on hard tires, so he is starting to gain a bit. And then lap 16, Lando finally comes in for his second stop. And he comes out 6 seconds behind Max, who he was ahead of before, but he doesn't have any traffic between the two of them, which Max was having to deal with.
So I guess that was part of the decision. It's like, well,
right,
given that Max undercut them, they knew they were going to come out behind Max. And they were kind of looking at what was happening behind Max to see how big that gap was. And then you push it and you extend to come out still in, you know, still not putting yourself at risk of being behind whoever's behind Max. Yeah. But knowing that Max is coming up against traffic in some dirty air, you do have a bit of time to get the tires in well, make up the gap, and then have a sufficient tire advantage to be able to get by again.
Yeah, I mean, it's only what a 44 lap race here because it's so long, and a 5 lap tire advantage is a big difference here. And I guess right after that, we saw Carlos had a little moment going wide while leading the race and going into the gravel, but somehow he was able to keep it straight and get back on the track. But I'm sure that was difficult for him to deal with in that one moment, but I'm sure he lost.
He got it pretty sideways. Yeah.
Yeah. But pretty nice of him to be able to keep it going. And then 4 laps later, lap 20, Max has been trying to get ahead of George, but George has had DRS behind Checo for a while and just has been able to stay ahead of Max, which has just helped Lando get way, way closer to Max in a very short period of time. I mean, he only pit 4 laps ago and he's only just over 2 seconds behind him now. George playing the team game to Lando here. And I guess right as George passed Checo kind of held up Max for a few corners on that lap. They ended up pitting him right as they got to the pit entrance, but Max definitely lost some time to George just sitting behind Checo for those few turns.
And it was just super weird because this was Checo's second stop at half race distance. And you got to think, well, they know they're on different strategies. Why did they just not just say, Checo, you're on different strategies, just let him by?
Yeah.
They let Checo hold him up and then just brought him in way too early.
So weird.
So weird.
I mean, he was only out on that tire for like 8 or 9 laps.
8 laps, right? I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very strange. But yeah, advantage to both George and Lando there. George had almost a 2 second lead ahead of Max by the time Checo had come into pit. So, not good for Max. And then Lewis doing a great job out front, starting to gain time on Charles, saying his tires still feel good. I mean, we saw time and again during this race, the person that's leading the race and is in fresh air is able to put in crazy laps, even a good distance into a tire set.
Yeah, it makes a whole lot of difference when the front end's not washing around in front of you and kind of killing the tires.
Yeah. And then on the next lap, Charles came in for his second stop, trying to undercut Lewis, coming out on another set of hard tires, but he didn't have a fantastic stop. And then Lewis responded on the next lap and was able to stay ahead of Charles fairly comfortably. I mean, he had over a 2.5 second lead coming back out, so nothing really to worry about there. And then Oscar is in the lead of the race with fresh air, and just like we said, he puts in the fastest lap on 16-year-old hard tires. Crazy impressive lap from Oscar right there.
Continue the conversation on pine-sports.com. That's pine-sports.com and the Pine Sports Discord, which you can find linked on the website. And join us in a one-of-a-kind fantasy Formula One contest at coopsf1.com. That's coopsf1.com, where you can put your theories to the test.
So then Carlos came in for his second stop, also only after 7 laps on the medium tires. But like we said, it's looking like the hard tire was faster than the medium on this track. Max pits ahead of Lando again to try and keep the advantage.
Just, I don't know, it just, and I saw some of the post-race interview with Lando, and it just always feels like Max is undercutting him all the time, and then he's got to try and pass him again. It's like, that's got to get really boring for Lando, because, you know, Lando put the pass on him earlier, right? And it just has to constantly have to try and get past Max again.
Well, that's the disadvantage, I guess, with pitting 5 laps later, right? Because you don't want...
Because then you're not going to be undercutting him. He's always going to be stopping ahead of you again for the next stop.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But Max went on to medium tires. I guess they didn't have another fresh set of hard tires, which seems crazy with all the rain that they have. But he went on to medium tires at this point in the race. And Lando was able to go on fresh hard tires. Just a couple laps later, Oscar finally comes into pit from the lead of the race, but he went long and like crashed into the guy that puts the car up on the jack. But the guy impressively was able to keep his composure and do his job and not really react until Oscar was able to get out of the pit box and then kind of was able to.
Yeah, I think in the post-race show, they said that it was his last race with the team. I don't know. But one thing I noticed, like, on the front jack, there's like the bit that goes underneath the front wing, and then there's a bit that sticks up at the front. That got totally flattened.
Yeah.
So he's kind of lifting it up, and I was like, is it even up? Could you imagine if the front jack collapsed and they've got to try and lift the car up and do all of that?
Yeah. But
it was 4.4 seconds. So yeah,
I guess all things considered, not too bad. I mean, not a great stop from them, obviously.
No, I mean, it's 2 seconds slower than you want. You don't want to be, I mean, 2.3 is really good. 2.7, you think they could have done better. 2.5 is really the sweet spot. So you got to figure he dropped about 2 seconds in that pit stop.
Yeah. But he was able to stay ahead of Max coming out of the pits regardless of his slow stop. And Lando was able to get ahead of Checo and taking the fastest lap and was now within DRS range of Max with the hard tire on, which was looking way more impressive. But then Max was able to kind of boost away for a little bit. And maybe he had been holding back. And kind of implied that he wasn't going full speed over the radio, and it looked like Lando was charging behind him and was able to pull away a little bit. But George is now the leader of the race, having not come in for his second stop, and he was one of the first of the leaders to pit, right? He pit with Max on lap 10 or something.
Yeah, I got, he's still out there. Yeah, I got the lap 10 was Verstappen. Actually, it looks like Verstappen was the only one to Russell and Verstappen were both lap 10.
Yeah.
And then Hamilton, Piastri, Perez and Bottas were all lap 11. So there's quite a few going there. Leclerc was lap 12.
Great. And then on the next lap, Oscar was able to line up Charles pretty perfectly through those first few corner sequences and was able to get ahead of Charles, who was in P3, and go and try and hunt down the Mercedes. And I mean, it was looking like now George was, there was no reason for him to come in for a second stop. He's just going to try and keep it going. And maybe I was thinking at the time, help Lewis a bit to try and win the race.
Yeah. With 10 laps left, you're not pitting with 10 laps left because 20 second pit loss, give or take, I don't know exactly what it was here. You've got to make up 2 seconds per lap just to get back to where you were. So essentially, if you're 10 seconds ahead of someone, you got 10 laps, you've just got to try not to lose a second a lap.
Right.
You got to stay out.
Yeah. And Carlos was able to get by Checo, but he was pretty far behind Lando in P6. So that was pretty much the end of his race, but 5 laps to go, lap 40. Oscar is around 4.5 seconds behind Lewis and gaining fairly quickly, but Lewis is trying to get by George, but George is playing defensive driving fairly well and to the benefit of potentially Oscar charging behind.
Yeah, I mean, they came on the radio. I don't know whether it was to Lewis or to George, I can't remember, but they just said, just give each other plenty of room. They basically said, you guys go out and win it. Just don't take each other out, which is great.
Yeah, yeah, that's what we want to see.
But it meant that in the last few laps, Oscar was closing in, and it was, you know, if you're a Mercedes fan, that must have been hard to watch. You should be saying, like they were saying on the TV, just get Lewis by him and have him drag George around on the DRS. But George's tires were doing fine. I mean, you look at him going, you know, exiting corners, which is you putting the most work in through the tire. He was just taking off.
Yeah.
No sign of any sort of degrading performance in those tires. He just held it and was just holding Lewis about half a second behind.
Yeah, very impressive and surprising that the tires were able to hold on for this long. Lewis and George on lap 43, or no, I guess on lap 42, Oscar is only 2 seconds behind Lewis now with 2.5 or so laps to go. Lewis and George end up going a little bit wide at one point on the next lap, and Oscar gains a little bit more time. But it's looking like it's going to be pretty close. And then finally on the last lap, Lewis has a little moment out of turn one, and that was kind of the last moment he would have had to make a pass. It's kind of that first part of the lap or nothing if you're going to make a move. And unfortunately, he wasn't able to do it, and George got the win, right?
Yeah, he crossed the line first.
He sure
after
did.
A one-stopper. Because no one thought that one stop would work. Everyone was talking about tire degradation being bad, but they resurfaced the track. So I guess there's a bit of unknown there. They made it work. I mean, it was George making the call, I think, lap 24 or so. He was like, let's think about the one stopper, which is nuts because he was already on 14 lap old tires at that point.
Right. Yeah, but he said after the race, if you heard him in the cool down room, he's like, they just got better and better and better as they kept going.
Yeah.
Which is like so strange. You never.
Yeah, and that's it. It's like everyone's stopping and taking perfectly good tires off, which was Lewis's point after the race. It's like I came in and they were taking tires off me that were perfectly good and could keep going.
So weird. So, yeah, it was very exciting for George on the podium, his second race win of the season, third race win of his career. But then we hear hours and hours after the race that he was under the weight limit and that he was disqualified from the race.
Yeah, yeah. So crazy on the post-race show, it was like literally as it was
like the TV crew second.
Were just about to sign off and it was... All right, folks, we're just hearing that George is being called to the stewards because they're saying his car might be underweight. And Karun's like, yeah, they don't call you because they think your car might not be making weight. It's like, if you get the call, your car's definitely underweight. And it was 1.5 kilos. And I did see some like stuff where I think Damon Hill was saying, well, was that just because he's had those tires on for 34 laps and a lot of rubber has worn off them and they didn't get a cool down lap to pick up marbles to add additional weight to the tire?
Hmm.
And it's like, interesting theory, I guess, because you can pick up 150 to 250 grams probably per tire, bigger tires on the back. So maybe you could be there or thereabouts. But then, you know, Fernando did one stop, K-Mag did one stop, albeit they just stopped slightly later and they all made the weight. So,
yeah.
You got to make the weight.
Yeah. And very, very disappointing for him. Obviously, I had him as a winner on the race, but after everything that happened, you got to put Lewis as the winner, right? Second win in two races. And I mean, the second win in three races.
Second win in three races, but second win in three seasons. That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's nuts. It's great to see them back up there fighting and on different types of circuit. Well, I mean, Silverstone is still very fast, so you can see how a car that's good at Silverstone is going to be good here as well.
Sure.
So looking positive, I'm sure that they don't want to take the summer break. They'd rather just go straight on and keep going.
Yeah.
But I think the crew... all the pit crews and mechanics that travel and all the drivers and their teams will be just kind of pleased to have a couple of weeks off.
Yeah.
Because that's it. During the summer break, it's a shutdown. Like you can't go in the factory. No one can check their emails. You know, they all just take vacation and then come back. So, well earned, because this was round 14 of the season.
Right.
I mean, when I was a kid, seasons were 14 races long, 16 races long. And now it's like the midsummer break and we've still got another 10 or so races left to go.
Yeah, crazy. And then, I mean, another winner, you have to put Oscar and McLaren, the team. They've got their 10th consecutive podium for the team and they're gaining more time on Red Bull in the Constructors Championship.
Yep. What is it now? I did see, but it's not a whole lot of points.
42 points, unless it changed with
George thing. I don't know. Let me hear. look it up, but it's it's definitely closing up there on the constructor side. It is 42 points.
Wow.
Yeah. Red Bull on 408, McLaren on 366, Ferrari 345. So, I mean, Mercedes are a little further back, but they've obviously been picking up a lot of points lately. Yeah. But you've got to say, Checo starting second on the grid.
Right.
Finishing
eighth.
Eighth, was it? It was seventh with George being disqualified.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But still, that's not going to do it. That's not what you need.
No, will not at all.
Have we seen Checo in his final race for Red Bull?
It probably should be.
You know, at the end of the post-race show, they interviewed Daniel Ricciardo. He seemed to have quite a spring in his step. He seemed to be in an awfully good mood for a guy who thought he'd just missed out on points. He did get a point. That last point for 10th spot, having been just beaten out by Esteban Ocon, who had a good race. Ocon pitting pretty late and with the tire advantage managed to get ahead of Danny Ric. But I don't know. He seemed very chipper indeed. I'm not saying I know anything or I've not even read anything, but my takeaway from that little moment was that that's not a guy who's just happy because he gets to take a little vacation. Sounds like when they do come back from vacation, he might have a better car under him.
Yeah. I mean,
but my view here, go ahead, Jason.
It's just so disappointing, you know, and I'm not like a not Danny fan, obviously. I wanted him to do so well when he was at McLaren, but it's just like, he doesn't deserve it. Why don't they just give Yuki the seat? Let him at least try it. If they're going to switch it, give Yuki the seat.
My theory here is Perez, good driver, but he's done, I think. But what they really want to do, they really want to look at two things. Put Daniel Ricciardo in the car. How much better is he than Perez in the car, in a car that he's not driven all season? See how he does. That'll really gauge how good or bad Checo has been, right?
Yeah.
But then it also gives them a chance to look at Yuki and Liam together again and see who's doing what. And that way, either, because the thing is, though, for some reason, they don't want to put Yuki in the Red Bull. I think they think he's a bit too hot-headed to be alongside Max. I don't know. But either way, they don't seem to want him in the big team.
Yeah.
But then you go, okay, well, let's see what Liam's got. And obviously, he did have races against Yuki last season. But at that point, you go, well, if Daniel does really well, then, because he's that older, maturer kind of guy, give him the seat. If Liam blows the doors off Yuki, then maybe Liam's the guy. And if Daniel doesn't do so well, then they put Liam in there next year.
But what if Danny sucks and Yuki still blows the doors off of Liam? Then what do you do?
Then you have a decision to make.
Then Yuki's a hot commodity for Mercedes. Still going to happen. It's going to happen.
Then you go Carlos Sainz and say, Yoss,
probably.
Just you stay in your corner, and Carlos Sr., you stay in your corner. Don't bother us. Just get out.
They can solve the issues by throwing the dads in the cars too and then letting them race out on track and see how that goes.
Before every race weekend, they get in like a Porsche Super Cup or something, or just get in something and race on the track, and whoever loses goes home, and the winning dad gets to stay for the race weekend.
Yeah, exactly. And whoever won the last race, they can use their discipline for the race that they do in the next one. You know, like Carlos will find some desert wherever they're racing, and they'll race through that. But you got to put Max as a winner. I mean, obviously, he's going to be disappointed that he didn't win the race, but he's still gaining points in the Drivers' Championship.
He finished ahead of Lando, and he benefited probably, I don't see the point spread, but the fact that everyone moved up one and it was slightly higher up in the order means that the spread between the position that he finished in versus Lando gets more points than, the point spread is wider for the higher position. So he actually did, he's expanded his lead in the championship.
Yeah, absolutely. And then he Ocon as a winner, right? I mean, he was able to hold on for points after starting in the top 10, and they're hard to come by when you're in the bottom five team. So good race for him.
Yeah, especially when you look at Gasly, where did Gasly come? He was a little further down the road in sort of, I guess he was 13th. He would have 11, 12, 13. He was 13th after after George's disqualification. So, when you finish that many spots ahead of your teammate, that's always a good day.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, losers. We already talked about Checo and Red Bull. Obviously, just not good for him and their constructors' ambitions. George and Mercedes, right? I mean, I guess we talked about it enough, but you can only put the blame on them for making that mistake and going from one of the best races in his life, I guess, to come away with nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I think, can you really put Mercedes in the loser category after they wouldn't have been 1-2.
They lost the 1-2.
If they'd have made weight, he wouldn't have been that fast. He'd have been maybe 2-3 seconds back down the road.
Yeah. But he still might have podiumed.
It may be, but they threw away a 1-2, and that's got to suck for George because, George didn't do anything wrong. That's the team messing it up, and they lost the 1-2.
Yeah, very disappointing. Obviously, Charles starting on pole and finishing in P4 will be disappointing, and Carlos wasn't able to do anything. Started in P7. I guess ultimately he ended up in P6 with George being out, but
and Leclerc did inherit the third place trophy.
Yeah, Leclerc did.
But he didn't get to stand on the podium.
Right.
So
and then Lando, I mean, he lost those two spots in the beginning of the race, and he ended up making one spot back, but that was essentially, in comparison to the guys he was around, he finished exactly where he was two corners into the race.
Yeah, Lando's having a bit of a torrid time at the moment getting through the first two corners of a race.
Right. How weird.
Yeah. But he'll find his form.
Yeah.
He'll get it figured out. He'll get it figured out.
Oscar is figuring it out.
Oscar is most certainly figuring it out. He's a really good driver. Like I said, he's got no emotion. So it's like he doesn't react to pressure. He's going to be a guy who won't crack. And I mean, obviously, there'll be situations that we'll get to test that theory, right? He's not really been massively under pressure. Obviously, he has won a race, but it's it just doesn't seem like the pressure gets to him and he doesn't make mistakes. He just is like a robot, just keeps repeating and getting better each time. So
I feel like so many drivers in the situation that they were in the last race, like with Lando not wanting to give it up, would have reacted very much in a bad way to his teammate, but he's like, I understand where Lando is coming from and I appreciate what he did, and it just didn't even faze him at all. The next thing.
No, it'd be interesting. I mean, and maybe that was part of the reason why he wasn't really pressured into making a mistake from the front, because, pressure comes when you're leading the race and there's someone chasing you down.
Yeah.
In the stages where someone should be hunting him down, the conversation was about getting him back in front of his own teammate. So he wasn't even in the lead for the pressure to get to him. He was just on it, trying to make sure he was there. And even so, there were suitably far ahead of anyone behind them. But if you have him in the front and it's someone other than Lando behind him, I'm going to be interested to see how that race comes out and see if our theory holds.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really it for the winners and losers. So I guess on to Coops. It was looking like I was going to move up again, but with the George disqualification, I had like five guys that were in the correct spots that all moved up one spot because George got disqualified. Brutal.
That's like a 75 point gift in your score, right?
So yeah, I was able to stay in the top 100, but just barely.
Like at 176.
Yeah, not bad, not bad. I think I was at 202 before, and now I got 153. But the top scorers, number one was Smack One, who is a previous winner. Got 233 points, so another low scoring affair. Was able to get 2, 3, and 4 exactly correct with Oscar, Charles, and Max. So, pretty good there. And then let's see how we all ended up. Mark was able to move up one spot and is in the top three now. So
there you go.
Very nice.
Prediction consensus came out 60th. Slightly worse than me. I managed to score 3 more points than consensus bot.
Nice.
Interesting, last race result bot got 180. I didn't realize we had multiple bots going on. Well done, Martin.
Oh, we do?
Geek. Yep.
Wow.
Speaking of Martin, this past weekend, he was in Budapest. It's like, you're a week late. I pointed this out to him. Like, what kind of oversight is that? You're going to be in Eastern Europe and you're going to go to Budapest, but you arrive there the Friday after the race.
Yeah. What's up with that, Martin?
That's a schoolboy error, I think.
That's bad planning. Wow. There's actually 4 robots.
No way. What else?
But the other ones are all the way in the back. One is just random picks. So that one's not doing very well. And then championship standings. I don't even know what championship standings is, but they're not doing very well either.
Well, it goes Max first, whatever
it's
the thing is.
I gotcha. It's doing even worse than the random picks, though. Well, it had Bottas in second. It had Logan Sargeant in first, it picked.
What? That doesn't make any sense.
That's so I guess random, it's in reverse?
Reverse order? Well, no wonder.
So Logan, Bottas, Joe, Ocon, Albon, Magnussen, Behrman, Pierre, Danny, and Nico. So it got 25 points for Danny.
I think there's some dodgy coding going on there. I think Martin done it.
Reverse championship standings.
But yeah, now we've got to wait for a month. The next race.
A month off.
Yeah, the next race is Netherlands on the 25th.
I believe so. Yeah.
So that's 4 weeks from today. God, I got
nice
to do.
I guess we'll probably get maybe some transfer news in that time. There aren't that many spots left to be sealed up.
No, we got the second Alpine seat still out there.
Mercedes
second
seat.
Williams seat. Second seat at Mercedes. That's pretty much it, right?
I guess so, yeah.
Second Sauber.
Yeah.
Saudi, Audi, whatever they call it.
Whatever they will be, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's it. I mean, whatever happens at Red Bull.
Yeah. I think that any news, that's probably the news that we'll hear before Zandvoort.
Yeah. Well, anything else you want to add?
Nope. It's been a good run of races. Well, we've had like 5 races in 6 weeks or something.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Hopefully, we will have more exciting races to come after the break and that this won't just stymie all the excitement that we've had for the last
half of the season. I mean, we've got 2 European races left to go. Well, 3 if you count Azerbaijan. So we got Netherlands, and then it's back to back Netherlands and Monza, and we've got back to back in Azerbaijan and Singapore, and then they move back over here to Texas. So you're going to do Austin, then Mexico, then Brazil, and then Vegas, and then round it out with Qatar and Abu Dhabi.
He has to give up the corner. I had to bounce ahead. What is wrong with these people?
Thanks for listening to the Undercuts review of the 2024 Belgian Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and join us after the summer break for our review of the Netherlands Grand Prix. See you then.